Welcome. You're listening to Casually Baked, the podcast, home base for the can of curious. Thanks for tuning in.
It's a hard time. We had a hard time together. Together. Yes, it's a hard time. We had a hard time together.
Hi, y'all. I'm Joe, your host and cannabis lifestyle guide. I'm recently back from a trip to Calgary where I spent 420 and Earth Day exploring the Alberta cannabis culture in the Canadian Rockies. My first stop was for a visit with my friend Neil Collins. Neil and I first became acquainted in early 2017 when he was the managing editor for Pineapple, a cannabis lifestyle magazine. Neil is a longtime cannabis consumer, so I met up with him for a one-on-one session on consuming cannabis in Alberta. When traveling, it's always important to understand the local and regional cannabis laws. And of course, getting tips and tricks from a local pot nerd is always helpful. So, if you've been curious to vacation in Canada or to understand what cannabis legalization looks like there, settle in, my friend. It's time to get casually baked.
I got the bottle of wine, the high dollar kind. I got the West Coast smoke, but I better just take one.
So I'm curious. I can't wait to dive into all of this stuff. But thank you for bringing the show and tell samples of all of these
terrible packaging examples.
Well, and the packaging reality.
Yeah.
And then you said this is the black market stuff.
Well, yeah.
Or gray market,
gray
I should
market.
Say.
That would be gray market, yeah.
Gray market that you get at the unlicensed dispensary.
I have to order that from out of province.
Got it. Okay.
And that's not for sale. There's nothing like that for sale at our dispensaries. Basically, you have flower. There are some oils that are, as I understand, I've never actually gone into a dispensary because why would I? I've always been able to find good quality ganja from, you know, my sources, and that's cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
That's the other
I'm
thing.
I'm just keeping that running, Katie, but yeah. All right. I wanted to get a little bit of that to start, but Neil Collins, I am so excited to meet you in person.
Wow. So am I. Happy to meet you too.
Yeah. So we've known each other what now? A couple of years? A
couple of years. Yeah. You were writing for Pineapple Magazine when I was the editor, and doing a heck of a job, getting lots of compliments of your work, and you helped me keep that magazine current and topical. So it's great to see you, absolutely.
So how did you even find me? I don't even know if I know.
I can't remember. I think I do remember. I think you contacted one of my colleagues. And I'm not sure if it was because you were writing or you were, you contacted one of my colleagues and you said you saw this new magazine and you wanted to, determine if there was a fit for you. And, as soon as I found out about that, I called you and we went from there.
Okay.
Seems to me that's how it went.
All right. Well, I don't think I ever really knew. You just said, hey, I like what you're doing. You want to do that here.
So. Absolutely.
Well, I have never traveled to Canada in a real meaningful way and like really dove into the culture. The one time I've been to Canada was a work trip to Montreal, and I basically spent 2 weeks in an office building. So now that cannabis is legal here, I've got some Canadian listeners to the show, and I know nothing about the Canadian cannabis culture. So you were my very first call and stop on this tour. So I'm hoping that today you can give me a kind of a rundown of what's going on, how things are working, like somebody who's just traveling here, what are those basic things we need to know?
And, sure. I understand.
And, yeah.
Well, a couple of things. We're in Calgary, Alberta. So Calgary is not what you would call, you know, a major picture of cannabis culture per se. We're all pretty much, you know, go about our business. West Coast is cannabis culture, as it is in America as well. It's been virtually, you know, legal there for 5 years or more. Nobody does anything about it. A lot of people are, that's where a lot of the growers were. That's where there were sort of underground dispensaries compassion clubs. And, you know, as I say, my friends out there have been virtually smoking, you know, with no concerns about being busted or...
So like the Amsterdam of
Yeah,
Canada.
It's kind of. I wouldn't go quite that far, but it's if you compare it to the rest of the country, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. But now in Alberta, since it's been legal, and what's that, about a year now, I think it's been legal, we actually buy more per capita than anywhere else in Canada in the legal dispensaries. I don't think we'd compare to the West Coast. I think it's a pot heavy culture in a lot of ways in the mm-hmm. interior as well. And maybe to the extent that it's sort of a joke almost that they're so high out there on the West Coast, you know, that whole thing.
That typical stoner culture.
Yeah.
It's
West Coast.
Okay.
Here it's like people are pretty quiet about it. I never told anybody that I smoked pot ever, except some of my close friends. Anybody would make a joke at work or anything. I never, ever let on that I've been smoking pot since I was 18 years old. Right?
So
you just didn't do that. Right?
Yeah.
And now, of course, I can sit here, you know, in the office boardroom and on occasion have a toke, right? As long as it's not some stinking, flaming, you know, joint of old that's smelling the office up.
Uh-huh.
But now we have so many different delivery systems that, you know, it's certainly accepted and it's legal here. And you don't have to be sort of hiding your use at all. I still
don't
talk
need,
much.
Well,
about,
see, that's what I've heard when we've talked to different people since being here is they say you don't have to hide it, but nobody's necessarily coming out and being about it.
Yeah.
And everyone's favorite method of consumption are the vape pens, and this is illegal here.
Yeah, still are.
They're so how are people procuring that? Are people here going into illegal dispensaries? Or are they buying it online?
No, there's no such thing really as an illegal dispensary. It's either a legal dispensary.
Yes,
the
way?
You can.
Okay.
Just hit that button there on the
top.
Oh,
I have to push a button?
Push that one, right?
Oh, I see it now.
That one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like I'm an amateur
or
something.
Well, this is
I am in Canada.
So it's, you know, I haven't really done a lot of the sourcing out. I'd rather not, you know, say where it just says it comes from Eastern Canada. And
shit, that was smooth.
Yeah.
I didn't even think I was getting anything.
Right. Well, that's at the low voltage. You can go a couple of, I like that voltage. It keeps it smooth, like you say.
Yeah.
If you put it into red, it gives like kind of like blast off, and I don't need that.
Yeah, we want to be casually
baked. That's right. That's right.
Okay. There might be lip gloss on that. Let me clean
it. Okay.
Up.
Won't hurt me.
Lip gloss will look good on you.
Yeah. Well. So it's an interesting thing. A lot of people thought it was going to be, you know, a lot of the people that thought, oh, it's going to be a disaster for the country. Of course it isn't.
Yeah.
I don't even think that the usage has gone up that much, really. A lot of people that maybe took advantage of friends of friends to get a little side deal or something because they didn't want to go into the streets, which who would? They're happy for this because they can go into a dispensary and it's safe.
Mm-hmm.
They know they're not getting bad material. They know they're getting quality marijuana, flower for the most part. And I have a friend, a young friend of mine that works in a dispensary, and he says that basically nobody cares about much other than just give me the strong stuff, right?
Yes.
They don't care about terpenes. They don't care about, you know, the health benefits per se. It's just give me the best THC hit you got on the shelf, and it's gone like right away because we have a shortage of supply, and that's mm-hmm. the biggest problem in our country right now. And in some provinces, it's beyond a problem. It's hard. There's hardly any dispensaries at all. Whereas Alberta still is okay. We're more freewheeling style like we are on most things. But it's not about the medical for the most part. There's a little bit of that, but mostly it's the main buyers are give me my biggest bang for the buck.
Well, and I think that's really because of there's a lack of education. Because if people, because from what I saw in a dispensary today, they're not allowed to talk about anything medical with the patients or with the customers.
Right.
And so instead of being able to say, yes, this would be great for that joint pain that you have or those sleepless nights that you have, they have to show on a chart, like, how do you want to feel? Point to how you want to feel, and then we'll help you. And instead of, you know, I tell people all the time, there is no such thing as medical or recreational. Like, if you're using it recreationally, you're still getting medical benefits. So,
no, it's true. It's true. But, you know, they still want to make that distinction, obviously, because...
But I don't understand why.
Well, I guess it's kind of the compromise between the people that say, well, we can't just have people having a lot of fun with this. It's got to be medical, right? It's or otherwise, what's the point? We're just tempting our youth to go off the deep end or something, right? There's still that. And obviously, we all know, you know, I know that excessive marijuana use by youth is... can be very problematic for them, right?
Sure.
And their learning capabilities and just their general, you know, not really connecting with things that are important to connect with. But for adults, you know, it's like wine, it's like, you know, alcohol, anything within reason is okay. Excessive use of any intoxicant obviously is detrimental to the physical and healthy well-being of anybody. But that shouldn't make it something that you should be ashamed of either. Right?
Right. Or this packaging that you brought in to show me, like this is insane for a couple of reasons.
Yeah.
Number one, the entire thing is just a warning. Yeah. Aside from, you know, having the brand and the, you know, the THC levels and whatnot in it, it's all about the warnings. But then this illegal stuff is what it looks like in California, where we've got like a proper brand name and the call outs and letting you know how something's going to make you feel and, you know, promoting your website on it. You know,
that's
like,
completely illegal in Canada to do that, to have any branding materials whatsoever on your product. And that's the thing. Nobody can brand their product. So it's like, just give me the flower with the highest THC. There's no canopy or you know, the different names, Hexo or all, they cannot brand it. You can't even have signage in the dispensary.
Yeah.
So it's still very draconian, but who, you know, sort of like the only people that really care about that are the marketers. The users don't really care, other than the fact that I think they're being ill-served insofar as that there aren't explanations of the terpene flavors and, you know, the more esoteric and the more enjoyable aspects of the flower or the distillate or whatever. And so none of that can be described. Mm-hmm. The bud tenders can probably talk about that to a certain extent, but it gets back to what I was saying. Most of the people that are coming through that door, they don't care about all that, right? They just, it's like the early day. It's like the early days of it being legal. So it's just like, give me the best, strongest buzz I can get. The subtleties are, you know, lost on the masses, so to speak.
Yeah. I will say, though, at the 420 Premium Market, is that the name of that dispensary chain? They've done a really good job of incorporating some of that education at the point of sale, like showing what these different terpenes, what they are, how they make you feel, and then providing dosage trackers. You know, these little way to monitor how strains make you feel and all of that kind of stuff. So I think some of these dispensaries are doing a good job of trying to help people really wrap their mind around the whole full picture of what cannabis can do for you and how it all works. But from what I understand, they're one of the few that are really doing that.
Well, and I think as time goes on, more of them will, obviously. But as I say, you know, as a, it's such a shortage of the product that it's like people are lined up for that. If it's delivery on Thursday at the dispensary, they know it's coming in on Thursday. They're lined up, and within, you know, 3 to 4 or 5 hours tops, it's all the good stuff's gone, and the shelves are just the stuff that nobody wants is still there.
Yeah, there was a lot of low THC, high THC stuff, or the just that 9 to 12% THC ratio. You know, there was quite a bit of that, and to me, that's what I want.
Yes,
like that is my casually baked, functionally high, work during the day weed, and to me, I'm like, people, if you understood that, like, that's the sweet spot, unless you are somebody that wants to just have a couple of glasses of wine, smoke a giant bowl of, you know, 25% THC and call it a day.
Well, I think a lot of people, and again, I can't speak for all people, obviously, but
thank you for acknowledging that.
But I think a lot of people, you know, a lot of people are, They go home at, they're not getting high during the day as a rule. Like regular people aren't getting high during the day for the most part, I don't think. But at the end of the day, kick back, you know, and blast off, right? A lot, you know, there are obviously people that are, that their lifestyle revolves around smoking from morning till night. Well, that's something else that, you know, that's another story, right? And those people will have varying degrees of motivation to do this or not do it. But I think your average regular folks, such as myself, you know, it's very rarely that I'll get high during the day when I'm working. I may, you know, certainly on weekends and some evenings I do, but you know, I've been through the thing where I was wanting to get high as often as possible. And so now I'm a
different stage. Yeah, to each his own. But the point is, like, there is a place for all of these varying degrees. And I just think people aren't really aware yet. So they just think the most bang for my buck, that's what I should get. If I'm going to spend this much on, you know, a gram of pot, then let's just get the highest one.
Yeah, and that's another thing. The government-regulated marijuana, ganja is about $10 a gram, and on good quality, still from the black market, if you want to call it that, it's about $7 a gram, $7 to $8 if tops. So, you know, people that have been in the game for a long time, smoking for a long time, I'm not sure how many of them are actually transferring over to the government regulation stores. I think some are, because it makes them feel like they're not doing illegal things. And let's face it, if you've had a good, you know, a good connection for your weed, you're going to probably stick with that connection, even if you can walk down the street. Number one, you've got a relationship, you know what you're getting, you're paying a little bit less, you're not fumbling with this packaging, which is, I think, environmentally, you know, terrible.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, you got all this childproof stuff, which is good. You don't want the kids getting at it. I understand that. But any responsible marijuana smoker has been, you know, very aware of all this for decades. So,
yeah, this, I mean, it is a lot of waste. And I had mentioned this on my last show. Is please someone come up with a way to either make this stuff childproof in less bulky ways or help us figure out a recycling program so that we can reuse this shit.
Absolutely. And
because it's so much, I mean, like, how much was in here? What came in this?
I think
1 gram.
Yeah.
1 fucking gram.
Yeah.
Like, that's insane.
It is.
And how the hell do you even get it?
There you go.
Okay.
So, you know, and it takes time for all, like,
this is so big.
The actual
that's what she said.
Logistics. The actual logistics of packaging and sourcing, it's like, that's what's slowing down the entire process. And a lot of these big companies, by the way, a lot of our Canadian companies are capitalized at over billions of dollars, and they're making like $5 million. It's just stupid. It doesn't make any sense. And I don't know how long that can be sustained. I think that eventually, And I'll leave you some of this articles from our...
I love that you did know. That. That's so old school. My mom does this too.
Yeah. Well.
She will bring me newspaper clippings of things to do homework on.
Well, I'm not asking you to do any homework, but you'll find out that, you know, that that's probably... We had a great opportunity to be a major international player, and due to stupidity of... I mean, we always say things like this, and I know I don't want to get political, but it's kind of like, you know... Our current liberal government are the only government in the world that could screw up and lose money on oil and pot. Right? That's it. So they're losing, you know, it's just, it's so regulated. It's so, you know, but it's so sort of old traditions to a new industry. And we may end up losing out. I think America will probably end up becoming like the powerhouse that it usually does in most industries. And
but from where I sit right now, it looks, and the way we talk about it back home, is that while our federal government is dragging their feet, Canada is getting the foothold as the major international player in the cannabis space. So you're saying they're doing it, but in a very half-assed way where they're going to lose it?
I think so. Because we just don't seem, you know, it's the Canadian way. We don't seem to want to just really grasp it hard, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of like, you know.
You want to hold on loosely,
yeah,
but don't
relax,
let go.
You know, you sort of. I know it's kind of funny, but it's kind of true.
Well, I appreciate your insight. So tell me, what is in that pile of papers over there for me?
Well, basically, there's a couple of different articles in here about, they talk about how, you know, growers still can't get to the market what it wants, strong weed at a good price, and why marijuana producers are struggling to beat the black market. And they talk about the marketing restrictions. We've sort of talked about that, where it's almost devoid of any brand identity. So no company can actually start building a strong brand so they can start becoming more profitable. Mm-hmm. So it basically it's like, we want you to sell weed, but we don't want you to be successful selling weed, right? Because it's still not, it's not cool to be selling weed.
But, you know, that's this marketing thing kind of, I think, it kind of lends itself to why we in California will say, what is the Canadian cannabis culture? Because it is, they're not being allowed to create this brand identity, brand culture. So, yeah, I can, all right, that makes sense.
And, you know, I mean, here's an example. Kronos Group, which this is the, you know, landed a $2.4 billion investment with tobacco giant Altria Group in December, had a market value of about $8 billion. That's $8 billion with a reported net revenue of $5.6 million in the fourth quarter. I mean, that's just like saying, you know, I'm buying a jet so I can drive it to the 7-Eleven on the corner, right? That's the kind of money investment. It's just, it doesn't make sense. I don't know where it's going to end up, where you've got these capitalization rates that are off the charts.
Yeah.
I mean, that's probably more capitalization rate than some major American corporations.
And it's a house of cards.
Yeah. So it's, I just don't know where the profitability is going to be. And if they expect the companies to be profitable, then they better loosen up the reins on their ability to market and to differentiate themselves and to get their product to market in a timely fashion in a delivery in products that the consumer wants. Mm-hmm. We can't have, you know, gummies are allowed. No gummy bears. Well, no, don't say gummy bears. No gummies, no cookies, no chocolate
bars.
But
that's all coming in October,
yeah,
right?
It's supposed to be coming. Now, BC has been doing it forever, right? You go out there, you can get anything. I was at a hemp show here last fall, I guess it was, and I was buying edibles right off the floor, right? Mm-hmm. The year before, the police were in there with police dogs to make sure nobody was doing that, right? But then it became legal, still illegal to sell, you know, edibles. But the BC people were here just having a great time with Albertans because we were hungry for their edibles.
I'm sure. So riddle me this. If when I'm in California, I can get on a plane in San Francisco, fly to L.A., and carry whatever cannabis I want with me.
Right.
When you're here in Canada, like when you went to that conference, were you able to bring...
Across the border, not a bloody chance. Across Canada, yeah, I can have up to an ounce. Unbelievable, I can have up to an ounce. I remember one time...
Well, no, I didn't mean our border. I mean your border.
Oh, yeah, we can
fly. So you're going from one province to the other. Oh, yes. You can fly with cannabis.
Yes, yes, you can.
Can if I'm not a citizen and I'm traveling around here, can I?
That's a good question. I don't know how to answer that one.
It's okay.
I think you should call the local police station.
I think this is the last person I would call.
I could research it for you, but I just don't know because, you know, I never thought about it in that, right? Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you one thing. If you go, you know, we've always said when you go across the border to America, the USA, we say, if they ask you, because they ask you occasionally, well, have you ever done any drugs? Of course not, sir. And then come on, you've smoked some marijuana. No, never, right? You can never, if you admit that, they can ban you for life from just by saying, yeah, I had a joint once. Or if they'll sometimes look at your phone, are you in the marijuana business? And if they see you're in the marijuana business, they can actually say, yeah, we don't like that. And we don't think you're good for America. So it's tricky. And when I was flying back and forth, when I was doing the Pineapple, the marijuana lifestyle magazine, cannabis lifestyle magazine, you know, I'd go down to to Champs, and when I was going, they'd ask me, where are you going? I was just going to a trade show. Oh, what kind of trade show? Oh, just a retail, retail market trade show. You never in a million years would say to the border control that you have anything to do or even think about marijuana. Marijuana, what's that? You know,
it's
come
so
on.
So silly. Yeah. It is insane how silly that is.
But that's what it has been. And I tell you, the days of sneaking marijuana over the border into Montana to go skiing in my car is long behind us, right? But, you know,
now we just have to get Montana legalized so that you can just go in and buy it there.
But it's... I think another thing, just as an aside, that I think the hemp industry is really even bigger than the cannabis industry because it has so many practical and technological capabilities. Mm-hmm. And I'm really excited about that. And Canada has been traditionally one of the larger producers, and we send a lot of hemp to America. So unfortunately, you guys will eventually start legalizing it in a large degree.
Well, and the Farm Bill passed, and so now they are realizing, hey, we don't really have any regulations around hemp-based products, hemp-based CBD, and so all that's kind of happening now. But people are able to start farming it at this point.
And that's great, but it's going to hurt us because I think it was worth $80 million or something to Alberta and Saskatchewan farmers because you'd be importing the seeds for oil and for products. So eventually that'll go away. So that's too bad. But hemp is a phenomenal, phenomenal plant. It's almost like it's the same thing. It's the sativa, it's the core plant is the sativa plant. Mm-hmm. And to me, I'm fidgeting, so I'm making noise. So I'll stop. Anyways, it's great. It's a great plant all around, and I can't say enough about it. And I enjoy it so much.
Tell me about the hemp CBD scene here. Are there hemp CBD products that are in traditional stores?
No. See, and that's another thing. The CBD thing is still, I think we're still bringing it in from the U.S. I could be wrong. I'm not 100% sure, but I know it's not easy to get CBD unless you join these almost multi-level marketing things.
Oh, which gross me out.
But that's the only way you basically can get CBD, as far as I know, or you kind of get it in the gray market. Mm-hmm. But we should be like all over that with liniments and salves and, drinks or whatever you need, I just don't understand. We're not exploiting hemp to, it's extraordinary what can be done with hemp. Not even health, not just health wise. You can actually, nanotechnology can be, developed from the fiber and it's just extraordinary. And homes, you can build homes out of it. It's a carbon sink, high insulation values. It's just there's like 2,500, 3,000 products that can be made that help humankind. So we should be doing that in a big way. And, you know, obviously the cannabis industry for health and happiness and wellness, I mean, come on, it's so fantastic. In my lifetime, I've seen it where people were getting thrown in jail for 7 years or 8 years for a couple of joints, to where now I'm in a country where, you know, sure, we can scoff at some of the stuff and the packaging, this, that, but I'm so grateful and happy that I don't have to, you know, I don't have to worry about being a criminal for just, you know, relaxing with my friends and listening to some music or right. dancing or something, you know? Yeah,
true. It is progress.
Absolutely.
So where can people consume? Is it strictly in your private residence? Can someone, if I'm in a park, can I smoke or consume in a park here?
Well, not legally. You're not supposed to. I mean, they're pretty relaxed as long as you're not blatantly, you know, okay. rude and around kids, you know, mm-hmm. And, you know, not offending the.
Well, I know. Love to get high yeah. and then go to a playground and swing.
Yeah. So. That's okay. You can go to the playground and swing after you've gotten high, but please, the children.
Push them up. Get yeah, off of yeah, your
head. That's right. Anyways, yeah. So it's, and again, on the West Coast, what was that big thing that had happened in Woodstock? It's like Woodstock on the West Coast.
Well, I will be there in June. Yeah. I'm going to do the same sort of thing, the little exploration of the culture there in June.
Sure. So you're going to find it's a lot more, you know, footloose and fancy free out there than it is here.
Well, that's my style.
Yeah, well, I like that too.
So do you go and travel and explore the cannabis culture in other places, or are you just like, all right, this is what we've got. This is what I'll just
look,
do this.
I've been exploring cannabis culture for a long time.
I know. That's why I wanted you on this show.
Before it was legal, and, you know, and it's almost all you had to do was basically remain kind of, you know, cognizant of not being a fool, and, you know, and that's easy enough to do unless yeah. you're a fool. So it's been not a problem really, except that it's sort of been, you're always kind of looking over your shoulder a little bit, and you don't have to do that anymore. So it's great that you don't have to do that anymore. But, you know,
what's your favorite? Who has the best vibe within the provinces that you appreciate?
I would absolutely say the West Coast, and, you know, on the island in particular. It's, you know, they're very laid back people for the most part. And there's always been a lot of growers out there. So they've really refined it. So, I mean, BC Bud was world famous for a long time, and it still is. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's fantastic, and it's clean. It's nice. The people are fine. You know, it's a very relaxed situation. There's a place, well, you know, we sort of laugh about it, but there's a place just off the UBC's campus, and it's called Wreck Beach, and it's sort of the nudist beach. It's been the nudist beach since I was a kid, you know, so it's been a long time there on the West Coast. That's on just in Vancouver. And I remember 20 years ago, you could be hanging out there and there'd be people selling joints on the beach. Mm-hmm. I mean, come on. That was not happening in Alberta or yeah. Saskatchewan or Manitoba or Ontario or Quebec, mm-hmm. right? So it's really, truly as I say, it's kind of like our California of Canada, right?
Mm-hmm. Right on. So I've seen some really funny strain names here. What is your favorite strain that you smoke?
Well, right now I'm smoking, it's almost, you know, it's funny to say, but Death Bubba, which is, a nice indica. And then I've got this other one here, this Hawaiian Cookies, which is a nice sativa. And I like it for daytime smoking. Like it's a holiday today, folks. So I'm smoking during the day.
There you go. This is a Mongolian Casablanca.
Right.
Are these all ones that you've smoked?
No, I haven't. You know, okay. I haven't smoked them all. You know.
Okay, Pink Kush. Yeah. Oh, San Rafael 71. Yeah. So this is a little Marin play.
Yeah.
We've got MK Ultra. Well, that doesn't sound weird.
No.
What is this one? Highlands. You brought some pretty tame names.
Yeah.
What was the one, Katie, today? Bubba Mc...
Bodie McBoatface.
Yeah. Bodie McBoatface was really funny. That was my favorite one earlier today.
Well, there was somebody... Wasn't there some contest where they were renaming something? Maybe it was just a Canadian thing, but somebody was renaming something and they came up with that name. Boat something.
Bodie McBoatface.
Yeah, Bodie McBoatface. It was some cartoon character. I don't know. I can't remember. Something just passed through with the massive stream of information that hits us every day.
Yeah.
So there was just a play on that, right? I don't know who comes up with these names. Well, I mean, I'd like to have that job, actually. I'd sit around and smoke and come up with cool names and strange names. And
well, when I'm making that Joper money, I'll hire you to do
that. Perfect. Thank you. That'll be my side gig. So, yeah, I mean, it's I can't really, you know, I don't consider myself any great expert on this stuff, but it's I can guarantee you that it's made everybody a lot more relaxed and nobody's going to be a criminal for smoking a bit of ganja. I mean, to me, that's like a giant leap forward in just, you know, decency and common sense.
Right. Well, and I hope that people can visit here and see, oh, yeah, if this was federally legal in the United States, this it's completely normal. And yeah. Frankly, it's not easy to spot a dispensary here.
That's right.
You know, it's very, very normalized.
Yeah, it is. And it's and like I say, it's just the way it should be everywhere. It doesn't make sense. I know the U.S. has made great strides, and you guys were ahead of us in a lot of ways. But from a national standpoint, it only makes sense. I understand, you know, where some people get concerned because they're always thinking the worst, and mm-hmm. there is going to be some of the worst. There always is. You can't get away from that, no matter what. But like you say here, it's like I don't think that the uptick in numbers of smokers has changed to any great degree. It's mm-hmm. just that now you can go down the street, mm-hmm. some streets, and get it legally, and it's not like, you know, zombies are running around and it's like all this chaos and anarchy.
Oh, funny you say that. This morning, Katie and I look out the balcony to, you know, try to gauge what the temperature is going to be, how many layers we need to put on. And it looked like there were zombies walking through the street. There's this somber music and just this crowd of people.
Well, it's Good Friday today.
Well, yeah, but...
So it's a Christian thing, probably.
Christian zombies. Yeah. Exactly. That's what it looked like.
Well, you know, it could be. They could be, or they could be just, you know, experiencing their faith.
They were feeling their faith. Yeah. I'd never seen anything like that. Yeah. So we watched the procession. They had a
hopefully
bit
they
of
weren't
a service
carrying
at
a big,
the corner.
Hopefully they weren't carrying a big cross or anything, right? Like under stress. And
no, there no one was in distress,
okay,
for sure.
Good.
But I found out today that there's a website that you can go to find out where legal dispensaries are, whatever. I'll include all that stuff in the show notes for anyone who's deciding to make a trip to Canada for the summer coming up. If you want to experience the culture here, a flight was cheap. My dollar goes a really long way. They don't have a sales tax here. So
not in Alberta. Everywhere else there's sales tax. Alberta's like your Texas, in a way, right? Mm-hmm. And we're still kind of wild and woolly that way. And
trying to break off from the rest of the country.
Well, we might, you know, the rest of the country's treated us really badly lately, and we can't take it anymore.
You're going to take your toys and march out of the sandbox?
Well, we don't know. We'll see. But we'll work it out. We're Canadians, damn it. We always work it out.
So do you have one piece of advice we can leave people with if they're coming here to visit as Americans? Is there like a way we should handle ourselves? Are there some little tip we need as cannabis consumers coming to explore?
Well, you know, it's like anywhere. You just be moderate don't don't go crazy up here thinking it's going to be, you know, free for all like anywhere else. You just be you know,
moderate and mindful.
Yeah, moderate, mindful, and respectful, like I would be if I go anywhere in another country, right?
So pretend we're Canadian.
Yeah, pretend you're Canadians, and you'll be fine, right? Just be relaxed, enjoy our great environments and our cities.
All right.
Try to come in the summertime if possible, unless you're a skier or snowboarder.
That's what I'm talking about.
But you know, we're pretty much we're very, very similar. We're very similar culturally. We're very similar, and we love Americans, and I know most Americans love Canadians. So we're
kumbaya on cannabis, my friend.
Absolutely, that's it.
My one tip will be: listen to your friends that say, "Take all of the cannabis out of your bag." I always travel with cannabis. This trip, I did not. I took the CBD joints out, the vape pen, the gummies, the extra joint. Like, I mean, when I started cleaning out my backpack and my purse, I'm like, holy shit, I didn't know I had all this stuff with me. So, but I definitely...
Yeah, do not come across the border
with
anything. And once you're here, fine, you can fly around. I'm pretty sure you can. And again, it has to be easily accessible. You can't just pack that away either. It's got to be like, you know, when your shampoo bottles or something have to be
in a clear
bag. Yeah, so you got to tell them.
All right.
Otherwise, rock on.
I dig it. Well, thank you so much for hanging out with me today.
My pleasure.
Now we can get these microphones out of our face and drink this wine.
Perfect. Thank you.
And that concludes our first Canadian cannabis lesson, but there's certainly more to learn. Next week, you'll hear my 420-day chat with Dorianne Steinberg. She invited me over for a high tea party and a chat about cannabis culture and how Canadian seniors are utilizing legal cannabis. In the meantime, you can find pictures from my Canadian adventures on social. I'm at Casually Baked. What about you? Are you planning a summer getaway? I highly recommend the Calgary Banff combo for consideration if you're looking for a cannabis-infused holiday. I mean, your American dollar goes further, the cannabis retail stores are great to shop, and there's a lot of amazing activities and food to pair with your pot. Shout out to 10 Foot Henry's! That place is so fucking delicious that Katie and I went back 2 days in a row. And Jeff at the bar, you're welcome for my leftovers. Wink, wink. We had a high together. Calgary has a great outdoorsy lifestyle May through September when Mother Nature is at her finest and not kicking Canadian ass with that freezing weather. Yikes. I hope you'll share this episode of the podcast with your favorite travel companion. And then both of you stay tuned next week for part 2 of my Alberta adventure. Check out the Podcast 85 show notes at casuallybaked.com to explore 420 Premium Market, one of the top cannabis retail chains in Alberta, and their tips for having a positive cannabis experience while you're visiting. I'll also be sure to include more information on Canada's cannabis rules in the show notes, because those Canadians, they are rule followers. I mean, they are the nicest rule followers ever. Rule followers, nonetheless. Casually Baked, the podcast, was created, recorded, and produced by yours truly. Editing and sound design are in the capable hands of Arnav Gupta. The podcast theme music is by my highly talented friend Seth Walker. If you aren't familiar with Seth's music, you can find High Time on his album Gotta Get Back wherever you're buying your music these days. I know he didn't create High Time for me, but it sure as shit sounds like he did, right? I hope you'll tune in next time. Thanks for hanging out.